Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Such is the reading of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And our emphasis is upon verse 2, and a lesson to brethren. One of the greatest hindrances to the advance of the cause of Christ is worldliness among brethren. It is one of the more discouraging factors to those of us who preach. It is a great cause of unfaithfulness to Christ and eventually total apostasy. It is a great stumbling block to the Christian, but also to those who seek salvation, because they are barred from seeing the glory of being a Christian. It blinds the eyes and distorts the person of Christ to the unbeliever. It is the reason that many church members are not going to be in heaven. What is meant by the world? Now, we're obviously not referring to the earth where we all live. In that sense, we cannot escape being worldly. We're not simply referring to people who live on earth, because God so loved the world in that sense. He gave his only begotten Son for them all, in John 3 and verse 16. Romans 12 is talking about the sinfulness that characterizes this world. We're talking about Christians sinning by being given over to material things, sinful things, temporal things, worldly things, above those things of God. Worldliness is being absorbed in the affairs of this life. It leaves out proper consideration for the affairs of the Spirit and the world beyond. It is being devoted to this world and to this life, the enjoyments, the advantages, the pleasures, the sins, the profits that this temporal existence offers. As Christians, we indeed must live in the world as a place of habitation. But we're not to be of the world, that is, partakers of the evil of the world. As Jesus said in John 17, 6, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The Christian should not conform to the feelings and the manners, the conduct and the fashions of those people who know not God, and who are content to go contrary to his will. In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Friend, those in the world live under the influences of Satan. They live vile and corrupt lives. They freely indulge in the things of the flesh and the works of the flesh, such as are listed in Galatians 5. This prevents one from entering the kingdom of God. Their God is the God of pleasure, and doing as they wish, regardless of the will of God. Now, we must not be like such people. We're expected to be different. We're to be a peculiar people, Titus 2 and verse 14. That is, we're to be distinctive because of the kind of life that we live. And it is a deplorable thing, but sometimes you can't tell a professed Christian from the sinful world. They stand side by side, doing the same evil things, saying the same wicked words, with the same goals and ambitions, going to the same sinful places, reading the same immoral literature, attending the same wicked events, engaging in the same evil manner of life that is like those who openly defy the will of God. Love for the world is incompatible with a heart that loves God. As the love for God increases, the love for the world will decrease. The love of the world chokes out the word. Matthew 13, verse 22. Paul said, Demas forsook me, and tells why, having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. But take heed to yourselves, lest happily your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Luke 21:34. My beloved, we cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. The Christian must not conform to the ways of the world. This seems to be one of the more difficult truths that brethren have to put into practice. And in attempts to excuse ourselves, we will sometimes cry, but everybody is doing it. Now this is the wail of the weak and deliberate sinner. First, everybody is not doing anything. Some are living for God, not self and Satan. And again, so what if everybody else is doing it? Does that justify it? Are we not told, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil? Exodus 23:2. Just because others may be doing a thing does not make it acceptable before God. Paul could have justified himself for persecuting Christians on that basis. The apostles who forsook Jesus at the cross could have said the same thing. The truth is, the godless, the rebellious, those who are steeped in doing their own thing, they're the ones who are doing the evil things of the world, but not everybody. We're not to be followers of everybody anyway. We're disciples and followers of Christ. It was this everybody's doing it attitude that led Israel to forsake God in their desire to be like the nations round about. We need to realize Christ teaches that more shall be lost than shall be saved. Matthew 7:13-14. Are you quite sure you want to be like the majority? Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. We ought never to be ashamed to be different for righteousness' sake. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. 1 John 5:19. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, that we visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Now James uses another strong term in dealing with worldliness. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James 4:4. God called worldly people adulterers and adulteresses because they were guilty of spiritual unfaithfulness. They broke their vows to God. They professed to be Christians, but they were trying to serve two masters. One cannot be a friend of the evil things of this world without being an enemy of God. Fence-straddling Christianity is not Christianity at all. The Christian life is a life of restraint instead of indulgence. Abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. We are taught to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, Titus 2:12. We are not permitted the uncontrolled satisfaction of every desire and passion. Paul wrote, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to the other, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3:5-10. Some folks just do not like the negatives of the Bible. They do not like the positives either, if they conflict with their own wishes. Many are simply not willing to pay the cost of being a child of God. And where do we get the idea that Christianity consists of just Sunday worship and the observances connected therewith? Christianity is the faith of Christ that governs the way of living this life. It is a way that has cost, and those costs must be paid. And even as we pay these costs, we do not earn our blessings. We receive them as a gift from God. But still, we must pay the price. And how it hurts the reputation and it hurts the name of the Lord and His church when members of the church act and dress and speak in sinful and worldly ways. Then they come to worship as if it made no difference how they've lived during the rest of the week. They drink and dance and smoke and gamble and curse and tell dirty stories and act immorally and dishonestly, cheat and lie and steal, just as if they had never even heard of Jesus Christ. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:25-26. Friend, we must sacrifice evil and sin and wickedness and worldliness and give our lives to God's service. There are many who want the blessings that God offers, but are not willing to do what they must do in order to receive them. Oh, they would like God's gifts and the temporal and sinful gains and pleasures at the same time. They do not want the result of living wickedly. They just want the part to be forgotten and to forget the punishment that is due. To the world it may seem strange, even ridiculous and foolish, to sacrifice sinful pleasures and luxuries and such like in order to give service to God. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, and he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, banqueting, reveling, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. 1 Peter 4:1-4. Yes, some think it strange that we do not spend all of our money so that we can give to the work of the church. They may think it strange that we allot time for worship, that we sever relationships in order to be consistent with the way of God, that we turn our backs on the social affairs, the parties and the dances that are destructive to the spirit and not conducive to righteous living. They may even think it strange that we would give up harmful and sinful habits that destroy our health and are wasteful. But they would think that one would do these things in a business to make another dollar. They would do it all right, have no problem with that sort of thing. But the Christian will not. You see, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to God. We must give up the evil of this world, 1 Corinthians 6:20. The Christian life is not conformed to the world, but is transformed. It's a changed life. Paul wrote to those in Thessalonica, "Ye turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God." Repent. Be converted. That's changed. That was the command given to those in sin, Acts 3:19. We were formerly servants of sin, but that's changed upon becoming a Christian. We're now the servants of righteousness, Romans 6:16-18. We now look for the things above and not on the things of this world, Colossians 3:1-2. Paul wrote, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Philippians 4:8. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." Being in the world, but not of the world, that means we must use our Christian efforts and influences against the advance of sin and for the advance of the cause of Christ. Paul said, transformation is accomplished by the renewing of the mind. Now, this involves a change of the views and the attitudes and a change of our allegiances. It is a regeneration of the heart that results in a reformed life. We turn from evil thoughts to good thoughts. We turn from unbelief to belief. We turn from a love of this evil world to the love of the righteousness of God. We turn from disobedience to obedience. And we can overcome the world through Christ. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Friend, we can defeat the evil. We can be saved, but only through Christ. We're begotten by the gospel, and we must obey it. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Ah, yes, it makes a difference how you live, what you do, what you say, what you think, what you accept, whether you are worldly minded or spiritually minded. Friend, press toward the heavenly goal. Forsake what destroys the soul. Give up sin and worldliness and give your life to godliness. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.